let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargel and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, AncientHopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the AncientHopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the AncientHopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Father John and Danny. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher. I know you can hardly tell. I've got a little bit of a frog in my voice, got a cold today. But I'm here in the studio with Father John Wargel. Welcome back, Father John. It's good to see you.
We can croak together, right?
Well, you're not going to be croaking. Boy, when people listen to me, they're going to be...
I think I always croak.
I don't think that's true. Okay, so we're going to... Gosh, this is... I don't know. This is sort of a hard one for me, actually, just because of the whole idea of suffering and, you know, kind of what God sees that his people are suffering under the terror of the Egyptians. And so he wants to do something about it. So that's a good thing, I guess.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I want to focus in this podcast and the post that's associated with it on Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 9.
Okay.
Okay. God has just encountered Moses. Okay. Yeah.
Do you want me to read those?
So no.
No, you should read them. Right. You should actually read
and
it.
And this is what the Lord says. Okay. Yeah. He says, I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their suffering, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now, behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Okay.
Yeah.
Oof. So, this is very heavy, okay? And again, I don't have answers to so many things, okay? And when you talk about suffering... really, there are no answers in the human language to be able to express them. I get this sense in the book of Job, right?
Right.
You know, time and time again, he and his friends are locked in the battle trying to come to some understanding why Job is suffering so badly,
mm-hmm.
right? And in the end, God doesn't really give him an answer.
Yeah.
What he does is he basically reveals himself in his glory. And that was enough. He had an encounter with God, and that was enough. Okay. Somehow, an encounter with God does something to the soul, right?
Yeah.
It gives you hope. Yeah.
It certainly seemed to do that with Moses.
Right. Well, see, but here, this is my problem, Danny. You know, they're in bondage. We don't know how long, they were able to live, you know, after Joseph, relative prosperity, but we know that they are prosperous, they're getting in numbers, and the Egyptians are afraid of them, and so they put them under severe bondage.
Yeah.
They put them under the whip, and, you know, the Israelites are suffering this not because they did anything wrong.
Right, okay? Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't. It was, in fact, the plan of God, as we read earlier in Genesis, when God encountered Abraham. He basically outlines the future to him, that they are going to go down to Egypt and they are going to suffer bondage, but after, you know, time, he's going to bring them out. So
yeah.
God has planned this out for them. And, you know, how in the world can you answer this? Okay, it's such it's even appalling when you think about all the ways the Israelites suffered. Okay,
yeah,
their humanity was crushed into the ground. the men and the boys were out there working to the glory of Egypt as slaves, and quite frankly, they were worth nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, we could watch the Cecil B. DeMille's film to sort of get a sense of what that might have been like, you know.
Sure.
The women abused, how can you... It would be hard to protect your women and children in an environment like this.
There's no way.
And, you know, the children don't know anything other than this. You know, so, you know, after a while, after such pressure, the text even says, and Moses is afraid of this, when you come to the children of Israel, they're going to say, Yahweh, you know, you're the God of your fathers. And they're saying, who are they? What's this? They lost their identity.
They're definitely going to say, who? Yeah.
Yeah, their identity now is slaves,
right.
Not yeah. as children of Abraham, children of the covenant, right?
Yeah.
And in such a deep, dark, and terrible place as a spiritual place as Egypt, you can imagine how easy it would be to fall into the magical practices of the land. We don't have any idea of who remained faithful, who didn't, you know, that sort of thing. But when people are crushed like that, the morality, you know, probably plummets,
sure.
right?
Yeah, it just disappears.
So they lose their memory of God, and God allows this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
For his purposes, which are always beyond human cognition, right?
Yeah. It's weird. It's not just that God allows it, but God had planned for it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's right. The amazing thing to me about all of this is that God was planning for his people to suffer like this. And
right.
for what? To become more strong? To understand what that feels like?
Again, Israel, God chose Israel. And it's never easy when God chooses somebody, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, ask the prophets. The life wasn't easy, okay?
Yeah.
And so, you know, we can stand back kind of like in hindsight and say that Israel is everyone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's born into into this world, which is like Egypt. It's slavery.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it becomes a visual for the world in hindsight on the world stage for Israel to experience this as an image of what life really is without God.
Okay. Yeah. So I can read this and say, this isn't just Egypt. This is me.
That's right. Now, that doesn't give any comfort at all to the Hebrews who are going through this whole thing, right?
Of course, yeah.
So we still have that problem, even though I have a theological explanation from the cosmic point of view. You know, for them, it just probably seemed like a gigantic wheel that randomly crushes, you know, fate, you know, a gigantic wheel of fate that just crushes its victims. And hapless souls in an unfathomable way.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, anyways, God then breaks into space and time. Okay. I have surely seen, it's an emphatic in Hebrew, the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. Knowing. Okay. God seen and he knows. It's just the opposite of what they feel.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It really is. It's the opposite.
Sure, they don't even know that God exists because they don't have any reason to think
right.
that God is there.
Right.
God is with them.
Right.
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Father John Wardle and Danny Gallagher. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Father John and Danny.
It really is. It's the opposite.
Sure, they don't even know that God exists because they don't have any reason to think
right.
that God is there.
Right.
God is with them.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And we are struck by the unaffected divine expression of words and phrases here, okay? There's no attempt on God's part to explain the past.
No.
Okay, right. So he pops up on the scene, and, you know, the people have suffered for centuries, and he says, yeah, okay, now it's time. you know, let's go. You know what I mean?
I don't know. Not even you've suffered enough. You didn't even say that. Let's go.
And it's the way it is in scripture. I mean, there's these broad swaths of time where God just seems to be gone. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is one of them.
Yeah.
Okay. And then during the exile leading up, you know, to Jesus, I mean, we're talking about no prophetic word at all for 400 to 500 years. I mean, in fact, the 400 years seems to be a recurring theme here, right?
This might have been 400 years.
Right. So you can just see how God looks at time a lot differently than we do. Okay. Yeah.
That was probably just a snap of the fingers for him.
That's right. And it might help explain the Catholic Church, too. I mean, they think in terms of centuries.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, right. Yeah, and not on the immediate, right?
Right, yeah.
So, but we have to believe by faith that even though it was dark all those centuries, that God did see, that God did hear, and that God was there.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, it's difficult to put that together. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we do know a lot about God. And so we can, I mean, it's easy to have the faith to say God was always there. God was always watching and moving with those people through their the suffering.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's how it is for us. I mean, some of us are in a dark place in a long time. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the danger is to step away from faith
mm-hmm.
and just give in to despair.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm sure that a lot of people did. A lot of the Israelites did. And we can't figure this out. God's going to have to sort this thing out at the end, and we'll all see that God's just, okay?
Yeah.
But from our perspective, we just have no way of understanding that.
Yeah. Well, generation after generation, the idea of God is just dimming. It's becoming a more and more dim light bulb.
That's right.
So of course, they're going to have no recollection of that.
Yeah. So this idea, though, that God sees, hears, and knows is very different than the pagan world around him.
Hmm.
Okay. In the pagan world, the gods don't really care at all about people.
Yeah, we've talked about that before.
That's right.
They only care if something happens. You know?
Or if you didn't bring a sacrifice, feed them, then you get slapped around. And so people lived in constant fear and living in magic of trying to catch the attention of the gods.
Yeah, appease the gods.
And so on and so forth. So that's the pagan culture. But, today's complex post-Christian culture really doesn't fare any better than the pagans. Okay, in our culture, people don't think of the gods for the most part. Okay,
no,
that we've been that sort of thing has long passé, right?
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah.
But in the post-Christian world, we're left without God, and we're left without the gods and divinities for the most part.
Yeah.
And so, where are we? You know what I mean? And I think that this really came to light in the Enlightenment. And I think I probably talked about this before with Voltaire.
Sure.
He wrote his famous book, Candide, to counter the fact that this is the best of all possible worlds, okay, which everybody sort of believed, that because God is in charge of it, somehow things will be all explained or what have you. He wrote this in 1759.
Okay.
In response to a great earthquake in Lisbon, that where many, many, many people were destroyed, killed. And he just looked at the suffering and said, this is senseless.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in light of suffering, God is either all-powerful and therefore evil, he allows it. And if he's all-powerful and he allows evil, then he must be evil God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or if he's not all powerful, that means he's not powerful enough to do anything about the evil in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And quite frankly, there are theologies out there that came out, you know, since the wars of last century, that really diminishes God as being all-powerful and control of all things, but he's in process with us. If there is such a thing as God, he's in process with us, which gives me no real great feeling, because who knows where the process is going,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
And who's really in charge here, right? You know, and so again, it's a deferring to evil, okay, as being more ultimate, okay? So this is called theodicy, the problem of evil. How in the world do we get around the whole thing? And again, there's no easy answers for anybody. Yeah. I mean, you know, all of us humans struggle with it. However, what we have here in our text is a God that sees and hears and knows. Hmm. And that is what we receive by faith.
Yep.
However dark things may be, we have to see that. And in some ways, God's more close to us in these dark times, in those dark times, than we are when everything seems to be sunshiny
all
and
good,
happy,
yeah,
and all good. You know what I mean? Because whatever happens in this world, it's temporal, Danny.
Yep.
And that's what the scriptures really teach us.
Yes.
Right. But God's eternal, and he has encountered Moses, just like he had encountered the fathers.
Yep.
And now through Moses, he's going to encounter the people, mm-hmm, of Israel. Okay. So it's no small thing to be seen, heard, and known by God. We have to believe that and really embrace that.
Yes.
With our hearts, wherever we are in our journey, right?
Yeah. It's like the biggest thing. I mean, if we really think about it, to be seen, heard, and known by God is yeah, kind of the biggest thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It is. So I thought we would talk about these verses for this one. I like one of the thoughts that you wrote on this post, and that is, a soul disposed toward God embraces the unknown as a space for God to work.
Yeah.
Rather than a void to be feared.
Yeah.
Danny, that's pretty good.
That's pretty, I was looking up a lot of the stuff, some of the quotes that I took from things you wrote.
Oh, did I write that?
You didn't. But
oh,
you wrote something.
Yeah,
you wrote
right,
something very similar.
I see. Okay.
And so I was looking for things that were similar. I'd like to explain that.
Right.
And I thought that was a great quote that someone had written in a book or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That idea of the unknown.
Right.
Was that really struck me?
That's right.
You know, as being a place where we can see fear and be afraid and void. Or
right,
we can know that God is in there, mixed in there.
That's right. You know, that's such a profound thing, you know? And that tells us that God's just bigger than suffering. And when we're going through it, nothing seems bigger than
right,
our suffering, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, that's all good. So I don't know if I have anything more to say about that today. Then we're going to get on to some really interesting things now.
Yeah, right. The rest of the story is coming up fast.
It's coming up fast, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
well,
so
you did pretty good with your voice today.
Oh, thanks. Well, I feel like it's part of the suffering.
The part know? Of the suffering, right?
Yes, right, exactly.
That's pretty mild suffering, okay.
Oh, yes. I know. You're right about that. Okay, good. Well, thanks so much for coming in.
Okay.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture.
Thanks for listening. The Deep Dive into Scripture podcast theme music is Epic Trailer by Scott Holmes, sourced from scottholmesmusic.com using a Creative Commons license. Please go to ancienthopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple or Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.